Is that Abe's real fault?
To be interviewed by the officer, and without any pressure whatsoever, we just asked whether we would like to take part in the second expedition. And I said, no, thank you very much. And I think it was a very wise decision. It turned out to be extremely wise, but I felt that as I was being asked, I didn't want to volunteer. I thought it was too dangerous. And that sums up, I suppose, my attitude in general. I wasn't a soldier, I was a conscript. I'd done everything that had been asked of me. I wasn't ashamed of anything that had happened. My training had served me well, and I'd done my bit. That's all, I suppose, sums up the Chindit part of it. The fact that later on I was sent back into Burma is only significant in as much as that I was there. I think it's significant in as much as I was one of the first of the private soldiers to attack the Japanese after the debacle of the retreat to Burma and the Akihabara affair and the Singapore affair. To me, I have a certain pride in the fact that being one of the first to go in against them after that, I was also in Burma looking for the Japs when the bomb was dropped, to my great relief and to the relief of everybody else concerned, because there'd have been hundreds of thousands of men killed if the bomb hadn't been dropped, in my estimation. And that really sums it up, I suppose.
Who were you with in Burma when the bomb was dropped?
I was with the Border Regiment, and one of my friends, Dick Mannion, who is the chap that I just found still exists, still alive, by using teletext, searching for him. There was, if I was going to conclude this interview, I suppose I would want to conclude it on behalf of the private soldier who I believe has been unfairly castigated by a number of authors, including Ferguson, Bidwell, Smith, and a number of others. We were called third-rate, unsuited, unintelligent, uneducated, hypochondriacal, and various other adjectives used to describe how poor we were as soldiers. Well, I remind people that we weren't soldiers, we were conscripts. And those of us that were unfit, unable to go in, I think that's understandable, it was very tough training. Those who didn't want to go in, I don't really blame them in a way. Because if somebody asked me now, would you do such and such a thing, and next week you'll have your arms blown off, I don't care what it was they asked me to, I wouldn't do it. And if some of the troops felt their life was worth more to them than their honour, I don't blame them. So having dealt in this sense with the annoyance I feel at the way certain writers have depicted my friends and myself, that's what it amounts to, I would like to, perhaps if I've got the opportunity to do this, I would like to dedicate these memoirs. They're not complete, but I think they're sufficient there to state my own position. I would like to dedicate it to the friends of the time Dick Mannion, who introduced me to many of the great tenor operatic arias and shared the monsoons with me. Freddie Rapper, a great footballer and the first Northerner to offer me friendship. Stan Ornatt, who remained a friend all through and helped me with his linguistic skills. David Ogden, tenor saxophonist from Earl on Caddison. Patient, tolerant, logical, and deep thinking. I always hoped some of that rubbed off on me. David Hastings, captain, killed in the Irrawaddy Crossing, my first experience of meeting an officer and a gentleman. Smudger Smith, an honourable private, a dustman of real life, one of the 11 who stayed and didn't run, extremely religious, and helped us each day with a verse from the Bible. A very kind man. Corporal Bert Fitton, left half company football team, helped Lieutenant Colonel Cook and the sick and the wounded into the only get out plane, found himself locked in, about to take off, pleaded with the pilot to let him out. He was killed later. I wonder if his family ever knew about that. I was on patrol with him once, just he and I. He was too brave for me, and I had tears when I heard of his death. There are many more now, I come to think of it. But we'll finish with Corporal Stan Hick, who stopped me running away when he said, "Don't go." I've always been pleased I didn't run away, but it really wasn't my fault. Stan Hick was a good man to be with.